Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now, I am not reintroducing the idea of purgatory. But on the other hand, I do believe the baby was thrown out with the bathwater. With that came a belief, when you die, you're instantaneously and magically made perfect.
The soul of someone who dies immediately goes into eternity. There is no place where you make up for your sins. There is no purgatory. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Got friends who won't come to church with you? Do they laugh when you say Jesus is better than pro wrestling? Do they already seem to have love, joy, and peace? From the people who invented drunken dart preaching and scripture bowling comes Evangelicals for Hire. Yes, a team of evangelicals from all over the country are ready and willing to evangelize to your neighbor, your boss, your sister, brother, or even Aunt Fran. You'll never have to evangelize again. Sit back and enjoy as your spiritual fruits get delivered directly to your doorstep for all to see. Choose the plan best suited to you. Romans Road, Friendship Evangelism, Lifestyle Evangelism, MySpace Evangelism, Spamgelism, eCard Evangelism, Clown Evangelism, and more. Local bar preaching, soapbox preaching, open air preaching, smoggy air preaching, fortune cookie evangelism, skywriting evangelism, hypnosis evangelism, clown evangelism, and more. Hobby evangelism, workplace evangelism, lunchtime evangelism, breakfast evangelism, middle of the night call evangelism, fake tattoo and run evangelism, bribery evangelism, and clown evangelism. Evangelicals for Hire. We share your faith so you don't have to.
Did I mention we're at PV Plaza? That's where we are. And I'm having a little debate in my brain right now whether we should talk to somebody who is awake or somebody who's sleeping. There's a guy sleeping. Hey, will you guys talk to me on the radio? What's your name?
Lindsay.
How you doing, Lindsay? I'm Todd.
How are you?
Are you working and just taking a little break?
Yeah, a little break.
Okay, so we're out talking to people. You ready for this? We're talking to people about what happens to them when they die. What do you think happens to you when you die, Lindsay?
I think if you're good, you go to heaven.
Do you think you're a good person?
I am a good person.
So you think you're going to heaven?
Yes.
Okay, so how do you know if you're good?
Oh, I don't know.
Let's do a quiz, all right? Okay, let's do a quiz. How do you know if you're a good person? Have you ever told a lie?
Probably.
Okay, so if you've told a lie, what kind of person tells a lie?
Well, I only do it if it's good for the other person, if it's something that they shouldn't know. Like, if it's going to hurt them to know the truth, then I would tell a lie.
Okay, but if I told a lie, what would I be?
You'd be bad if it was a lie to your benefit, I think.
I'd be a liar, wouldn't I?
Liar.
Okay, so have you ever stolen anything?
Never.
Ever?
Ever.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Now, you just told me you're a liar. How am I supposed to believe this? Not a piece of gum, paperclip, long-distance phone call at work, anything?
No.
Oh, yes, that counts. Hold on. We can do the test with you next if you'd like. Any some money out of your parents' pockets when you were a kid?
Maybe. Something very small.
Oh, what did I just hear in the background? Okay, so there's some revealing information. Did you ever steal some alcohol from your parents' cabinet when you were a kid?
Back when I was a kid, long time ago.
Okay. How's about this one? As you're sitting here on this beautiful plaza, looking out over things, have you ever looked at anybody with lust in your heart?
Probably, but not here today.
Okay, but not here today. Nothing good today, huh?
No, no goods.
Okay, but you've done that before. So, lying, stealing, and lusting after somebody in your heart, after somebody. You think you're pretty good? So let's just say you stand before God on Judgment Day, and he drills you like that, gives you the Ten Commandments, like I just gave you 3 of the Ten Commandments. Do you think you'll be innocent or guilty?
I think that God will forgive me for any little things that I've done wrong.
Well, first of all, let's establish if you're going to be innocent or guilty. What do you think?
Probably guilty, I guess.
Okay, so if you're going to be guilty, do you think that you're going to go to heaven or hell?
I'm still going to go to heaven.
When you're guilty? He's going to let guilty people into heaven?
Yeah.
Why would he do that?
Because he's going to forgive me.
Why?
Because God forgives.
Because God forgives.
Why? So he's gonna let rapists and murderers and blasphemers and not them.
No, I think that he's kind of got a continuum, and if you're like way on one end, then.
All right, we went through 3 commandments. How's about this one? Have you ever been angry at anybody?
Yeah, I've been angry.
Okay, the Bible says that if you're angry with somebody, that's the same as committing murder in your heart, because God judges the intentions of the heart. Yeah. So what do you think about that idea? So if God judges you and finds you guilty of murder, do you think you're still going to heaven?
I'm not going to be guilty of murder.
Well, that's what Jesus said, that if you're angry with somebody, That's like murder. And he also said that if you just look at somebody with lust in your heart, that's the same as committing adultery. So you've done those two things, and you're going to be guilty. Is he going to let you into heaven?
I don't know. Yeah.
Why?
This is so frustrating.
Well, really, I mean, this is kind of important. If it's true, you said that you think you're going to heaven. If you think that your soul's going to live on, and if it's possible you're not going to heaven, I think it's kind of important to figure out now, don't you?
Probably. So what are you suggesting I do?
Well, I don't have a suggestion right yet, but I'm just wondering why you think that God's going to let you into heaven if you've broken his commandments.
I'll figure that out. I'll figure that out and get back to you.
So you don't know right now?
Nope, don't know.
So do you think that the scenario that I'm painting is possible?
Yes.
Okay, so now can I give you my suggestion?
Okay, yeah.
All right. You mentioned Christianity, right? What do you know about Christianity? Specifically, what do you know about Jesus Christ?
Jesus died on a cross for our sins.
Really? That's an interesting bite of information. What does that mean?
It means that when he gave up his life for us, that he was washing away our sins.
Well, that's interesting new information. I thought you were going to heaven because you're a good person.
I'm going to heaven because of Jesus.
That's interesting. Yeah, I think that's how you need to get to heaven too. I think that's how you need to get to heaven too. Because the Bible says when you die, you're going to be absent from your body, present with the Lord, and he's going to judge you for every thought, every word, every deed, every action, everything that's ever gone through your brain. And you're going to have to give an account. And as you indicated, you're going to be found guilty. And unless you have somebody to pay your fine for you, you're in a world of trouble. And God's going to send people to hell for breaking his laws. And like you said, Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, the Son of God, came to earth, died on a cross, took the punishment that you should get so that you'll be found not guilty on your day of judgment.
Okay.
You agree with that? So here's the tricky part, though. What do you do with that information?
You do good for other people.
Okay, now, what do you do specifically with the information that Jesus Christ died for your sins so that you don't have to be punished?
Spread the word.
What do you do with it personally? Before you spread it, that little information that we just went through, what does that do for you or to you, or what do you do with that information?
I'm going to be a leader for a church group for high school students and spread the word to them and help them spread the word to their friends.
Okay, that's all good stuff. But this is the tricky part that a lot of people don't understand. And I'm gonna help you understand it by way of a story, okay? I want to put you on an airplane, and you're flying along at 35,000 feet. When the pilot comes on and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for flying our airline. I have some bad news. The tail just fell off of the airplane. We're going to be crashing in just a few moments. Oh, by the way, there's a parachute underneath everybody's seat." Now, what would you do with that parachute in that situation?
I'm going to strap it on my back and live.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to put it... Why don't you just sit there and go, "Ah, yes, there's a parachute underneath my seat that would save me. I believe that," but you don't put it on. Why wouldn't you do that?
You have a death wish?
Exactly. You would, because it doesn't save you. Just believing in it doesn't save you, does it?
No.
Same thing is true with that information about Jesus Christ. The Bible says it's not enough to just believe in it, to go, "Oh, yeah, I believe that that could save me." Because even the Bible says that even the demons believe that and they tremble, but they're not going to heaven. So you need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, just like you'd put on a parachute, in order to be saved. All right? What do you think of that idea?
Great idea.
All right. So what do you think you're going to do with that information?
Oh, jeez. I'm going to wear it.
Okay. And what happens if you don't?
You're going to come back and haunt me?
Nope.
Then, I don't know. I don't have a good answer to that.
How old are you?
I'm 22.
22, you're very young. How long do you think you're going to live?
94.
94, so a long time from now. But it's possible that you could die today or get some really horrible news and die soon, right?
Right.
Okay, that's why this is actually very important. That's what the Bible teaches, that you need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ so that when your day of judgment comes, and we never know when that is, you'll be right before God. So I would just encourage you to think about what we talked about and think about getting right before God.
Okay, I'll do that.
Do you know how to do that?
Where Jesus Christ?
Yeah, how do you do that? How do you make that start?
I don't know. You better tell me.
Alrighty, as long as you've asked. What you need to do is find a quiet place, get before God and say, God, I'm sorry, I didn't understand. I didn't know that you're going to judge me someday, and I didn't realize how poorly I was going to do on that day. And I ask you to forgive me of my sins because Jesus died for them, and I want to make you the Lord of my life, and I promise to follow you all the days of my life. And then he forgives you for your sins. You get up, you start reading his Bible, do what it says, and then you move from death to life, and you won't go to hell anymore, and you'll go to heaven to be with the one who loves you so much that despite the fact you broke his law, he saves you anyway.
Good. Sounds good to me.
You're being kind of sarcastic with me, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
All right. Hey, can I give you something to read on your next little break here? All right. I know you're 22. Are you good enough to go to heaven? Most important question you can ever ask. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks very much for your time. I appreciate it. Okay, see ya. How can you stand sitting out here this long?
I don't know. I just love the sun.
Anna, do you have sunblock on?
No, none.
Ugh, you know, when I was 22, you could sit out in the sun forever. You sit out in the sun now for like 15 minutes, you're going to get cooked, you know?
Well, that's the...
See, I'm not just worried about your soul. I'm worried about your skin.
The plan is to be tan.
See, I don't want you to bake any place. That's what I'm getting at here. All right. Hey, thanks for your time, okay? Okay, see ya. All righty. One of the things that I've noticed about these witness encounters, that when you follow this basic formula of, do you think you're a good person, walking somebody through the commandments, when you get to innocent or guilty, that's when it starts to happen. And when you finally get them to confess, I'm going to be guilty before God, their face changes, doesn't it? They get a different look on their face, like, oh boy, this, I don't know for sure where it's going, but I sense that it's not going the way that I want it to go.
This is Wretched Radio.
You might not see them, but the world keeps handing you chains. Chains of fear, chains of people-pleasing, chains of self-love disguised as confidence. And on The Better Way with Libby Glossin, she's cutting through the lies. This is intelligent talk radio for women, because real freedom doesn't come from looking inside yourself. It comes from looking up to Christ. It's time for The Better Way with Libby Glossin.
The hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know what's crazy? You've got more computing power in your pocket right now than NASA used to send people to the moon. But most of us, well, we're using it to watch cat videos or argue with strangers online. But what if I told you there's a better way? The Fortis Plus app. I'm talking hundreds of hours of biblical content that'll actually make you smarter and more equipped for the battles you're facing every day. Look, you're going to scroll through something today anyway. Why not make it something that actually strengthens your faith? Download the Fortis Plus app right now, wherever it is you download your apps from. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled an incredible team of biblical voices who are equipping believers every day. And the beautiful part, when you join us and link arms with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, your faithful giving doesn't just sit there. It multiplies into campus evangelism and biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. Well, join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. The world says you're broken, a victim of chemical imbalance, just another diagnosis in a long list of mental health labels. But what if they're wrong about you? What if there's a completely different perspective? Dr. Greg Gifford, a Fortis Institute fellow, is challenging everything you've been told about mental health. In our exclusive forum, Psychology versus Scripture, The Truth About Mental Health, available right now for free at fortisplus.org. That's fortisplus.org. Question, what if everything you knew about God is absolutely true, but it's not changing how you live your life? And Dr. John Krotz, the host of Integrated, understands this struggle because he's lived it, and he's discovered five powerful ways to bridge that gap between knowing God and truly loving Him with everything we've got. In his new Fortis Forum, Head to Heart, which is available now on Fortis Plus, Dr. Krotz shares how biblical characters like Stephen and Daniel didn't just memorize truth, they lived it under pressure. Head to Heart, available now on Fortis Plus.
Books of the Bible. Paul wrote the second letter to the Thessalonians to further encourage and instruct them in the face of persecution. Some Thessalonians feared that they had missed the Lord's return. Paul reminds them that God will punish those who persecute the church, and he will be faithful to return for his people. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, did you hear any of that stuff? Tell me what you thought about what I just said, okay? What's your name?
Erin.
Erin, what'd you think about what we just talked about?
Well, considering I was answering a lot of the questions for her, I just graduated from the University of St. Thomas, a Catholic school, so I've been drilled with that information for the past 4 years.
Do you believe that information?
I do.
That thing about the parachute and putting on Jesus Christ, right. What do you think about that concept?
I think that's completely true, because if you don't live your life as a Christian and show it for other people to see, then you're not really spreading God's love and God's word the way that you should be.
A lot of people talk about a relationship with Jesus Christ, that it's really the primary thing is about having a relationship with Jesus Christ, about knowing him. Do you think that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ?
Yeah, I do. I'm probably not as strong as a relationship as what I should.
What does that mean?
Well, oftentimes you feel like you could do more, or you don't pray enough, or you don't...
How often do you pray?
Every day.
How often do you read your Bible?
Ooh, not very often.
When was the last time you read your Bible?
Probably by myself, not for months, but...
Are you engaged or married or anything?
No.
Boyfriend?
Yep.
Okay, let's just say that you went away on a trip, okay, and you were gone because you had to work for 3 months, and your boyfriend sent you love letters and called and left messages at the hotel desk, but you never took the time to open up his letters, and you never returned his phone calls. Now, if I were just examining that, what do you think I would conclude about how you feel about your boyfriend?
I don't feel anything for my boyfriend.
Okay, so do you think it's been at least 3 months since you've read your Bible?
Yeah, not, I mean, that I've actually opened it myself and read it, but I actively go to church every Sunday and am involved in youth group. So in a way, I'm reading the Bible indirectly, but not...
Okay, but you hear the analogy, don't you? That
right.
You'd probably conclude, maybe that person isn't very fond of the person sending the letters. That's what the Bible is. It's a bunch of letters to us from God. So what do you think somebody might conclude if they saw your Christian walk, your relationship with him, and you weren't ever reading his love letters to you?
Not good.
Yeah, so why do you think it's not as good as it should be?
Time. I think that's a problem. Maybe even sometimes I need a reminder. I think if I had someone calling me every night to tell me to do it, then obviously I would do it more often. It's not that I don't want to. It's just I'm tired. I go right to bed, you know, and it's not that I can't just do it at night, but I think time.
Can I share something with you? You seem like a very nice person. You really do seem like a nice person that you've, you do, and you've thought some of these things through and you go to church and what have you. I used to be that way a lot too. I kind of acknowledged God, and I went, oh, yes, he definitely exists. And I believed it, but I never put him on. And the reason I didn't put him on was because I thought that God was just this big, nice guy out there who just kind of existed to take care of us and do nice things for us. But then I learned that what the Bible says is that he is loving, but he's also righteous, and he's just, and he's holy. And there's going to come a day of judgment when he judges us for everything that we do and think. And when I understood that, and when I understood the Ten Commandments is how he's going to judge us, because the Ten Commandments are the perfect example of God's character. And I realized, whoa, I am not going to do well on that day of judgment. And the only way that I can access that forgiveness of Jesus dying on the cross is if I repent and put my trust in the one who, despite the fact that he really should send me to hell, instead he chose to die for me. Which is just like the opposite extreme. And when I really started to understand that, wow, instead of punishing me, he took the punishment for me, and I repented. I got on my knees and I begged God to forgive me for it. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry, and I promise I'm going to live my life for you instead of me now. That's when it all changed. I got saved. And then the craziest thing happened. I just started reading my Bible because I wanted to. And I prayed because I just wanted to talk to that one that did that incredible thing for me. So I wonder, do you think maybe that might be the problem with your Christian walk, is that you've never really recognized and understood the exceeding sinfulness of your sin and God's amazing grace in saving us? Do you think that's possible?
Yeah, somewhat, but I don't think I agree with the fact that I need to get down on my knees and ask for or beg for what.
Why not?
I don't know. I just think there's other ways of going about that. And
how do you think that is?
I don't even know a good example. It's just like just living your life as a true Christian. I think God realizes that, not necessarily I guess, I don't know, I kind of go both ways. I guess it is necessary to maybe ask for that, and I do ask for forgiveness, and I do ask to be part of God's kingdom and everything like that, but I don't think it's necessary to...
What happened to Jesus was he got whipped with something called a cat of nine tails. Do you know what that is? And they would whip their back, and flesh was torn off of his back. They beat his back, and they beat his legs. They punched him in the face. They spit on him. They smashed thorns on his head. And then they drove nails into his wrist. And then they also said that what they've learned is that the nails didn't go through the top of the feet. You know, you probably see the picture of Jesus dying, and the nails went through the top of his feet. Well, because the nails that they find near crucifixion sites aren't long enough for that, they think that what they did was instead they banged the nails through the Achilles right here and nailed their feet to the side of the cross. So knowing that God hates sin that much, that he punished his own son that much for sin, you don't think it's appropriate to get on your knees and beg God for mercy when he obviously hates sin that much?
I do, but I don't. I don't think it's necessary to get on your knees and beg for it.
He's just going to give it to you. Why?
No, I don't think he's just going to give it to you, but I don't think you literally need to get on your knees and beg for it.
All right, let's go back to your boyfriend scenario, okay? How close are you with your boyfriend?
Very close.
Okay, so your boyfriend, it turns out, just had an affair with her.
Okay, then I would get on my knees and beg for it. I could see where this one's going.
Yeah,
I don't know, actually.
Well, if your boyfriend, let's say your boyfriend had an affair with her, with Lindsay, all right? And your boyfriend came to you and said, hey, I had an affair with Lindsay. I just wanted you to know that. And I'm going to try to be pretty good from now on. Right. Do you think you'd take him back?
Probably over time. Actually,
you'd expect a little more, wouldn't you?
Right.
I mean, if he was really sorry, there'd probably be tears. He'd be sorry. He'd be begging for your forgiveness.
Yep.
Okay, see, that's a good analogy. See, we need to understand how God feels about our sin. And until we do, we're just going to treat God kind of casually. But when you understand that, yes, he's love, but he's also a righteous judge who hates sin so much. The Bible says that when that happened to Jesus, the Bible actually says it pleased God that happened. When we understand that.
Do you think the only way, or you're treating God casually if you don't get on your knees and beg for his?
Well, let's go back to your boyfriend. Do you think he'd be treating you kind of casually if he wasn't a little bit sorrowful?
Yeah, but he's not God also.
No, but we're talking about your position before God. I mean, how's it about with your parents? Let's say that you were a kid and you ever break something, ever wreck something of your parents, and you stood before your parents and you said, hey, Mom, Dad, I'm sorry I broke that really expensive vase. I'm going to work really hard on not doing it again, and I'm going to be a pretty good kid. Your parents would probably be a little torqued with a rather casual response to breaking something very valuable, wouldn't they?
Right. But do you consider praying for God, praying to God for forgiveness and being a part of his kingdom and everything acceptable, or is it just literally getting on your knees and begging?
Well, see, I don't know what posture you need to assume, because I don't think God judges the posture, but I think it's probably indicative of how you're really feeling in your heart.
Right. Well, then, you know, that's different. I mean, just by being in Christian relationships, being in Christian youth groups.
Well, see, he's not looking for that. He's not looking for that. Well, that's what the Bible says. Here's what I want to, let me share something really interesting with you. When the angel came to Mary and said, hey, you're going to have a baby, she said, I can't have a baby because I've never known a man. The word to know, I've never known a man. And we know that that's an intimate thing, right? And what Jesus says is, when on the day of judgment, some people are going to say, Lord, Lord, I did all these things. I did this. I clothed people. I fed people. I did all kinds of things in your name, Jesus. And he's going to say, depart from me, you wicked one, into everlasting hellfire. I never knew you. And it's the same word that Mary used about knowing a man. See, God wants an intimate, knowing relationship with you.
Right.
What's most important is not the stuff that you do.
So it's
your relationship to him.
But you're getting to know God when you're in church and when you're in youth groups and when you're singing and praising him. I mean, it's not...
Well, I'm going to try another analogy with your boyfriend, okay?
Back to work soon.
Okay, let's go back to your boyfriend. Your boyfriend says, hey, I want to have a relationship with you. Don't want to spend a whole lot of time with you, but I'm going to go see a lot of movies, and I'll think about you sometimes, and I'm going to go out to dinner without you, but we'll still be dating, and we're going to have a close relationship. What would you think about that?
I would say no, but then again, I would go back and say that a boyfriend and Jesus Christ are two different people.
Absolutely they are. But that's what he wants. See, he doesn't want us to just be tripping through life for ourselves. He wants us to live for him. And if we don't exhibit that through what we do, it proves that, well, we really don't feel that way about him. And what he says is, sorry, depart from me, you wicked one, in everlasting hellfire. I never knew you. See, he wants to know you.
Are you out here trying to make people feel bad?
No, you know what? The reason that I'm not out here to make people feel bad, I'm hoping that people will understand what the Bible says, so that when you do die, that you're safe, you're taken care of. And the other nice thing is, all he wants to do is save you. It's not like he wants to torture you, make you a member of a cult. He just wants to have a relationship with you and have you live your life for him. So that's not a horrible thing.
No, it's not too bad.
But you recognize, probably rightly so, you recognize it asks for a lifestyle change.
Yeah, it does. And I think the way you're describing it is obviously a true, perfect Christian in probably God's eyes. But I think, and not saying that it can't happen, but living in today's society, it's really hard to do exactly everything that the Bible says. And
we can't be perfect, but I don't think that God's going to be tricked or fooled any more than you'd be tricked by a boyfriend who kind of gives some attention to you. You're not going to be fooled by that. You're going to know the difference, and God will too.
Mm-hmm.
Until next time, go serve your King.